This is 105 Breakfast.
It's a Friday morning. The sun is shining. What better opportunity than to talk wine with our resident wine expert, Mark Anston from Cambridge Wine School. Morning, Mark.
Morning.
This is what we want, isn't it? This is the weather for wine drinking.
Do you know, that whole thing about we had a great little weekend, didn't we, in May, or there was some sun in May, and then when that went, everybody said, oh, was that it for the British summer then?
Yeah.
And that keeps on happening, isn't it? We're so sceptical. Look, it's, you know, if weather goes bad in May, we've got the whole of June, July and August to hope for, and this is the proof. Summer can come again.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yes, it's an Indian summer now. Here we are in June. It's an Indian summer.
So I'll tell you what I've been doing a lot of in this weather then. It's quite popular. We do show wine tasting on privately chauffeured punts in the summer.
Oh, that sounds so every combination.
You need a group, obviously, because, you know, I can't just schedule a punt and hope that, you know, I will have 8 to 10 people for it when the time comes. But they give me the large punt, so you can get up to 11 people plus me in one punt being chauffeured down. And sometimes I've had, you know, it's popular with birthday groups, hen parties, and work socials. So sometimes I've had about maybe 22 people, and we've done it across two punts. And so
like a juggernaut going down the back.
Yeah. You've got two chauffeurs, and I'm at the other end, and I'm actually, as we're passing the bottle, I'm also got an arm out, just keeping the front of the punts together.
How cool. My goodness. Oh, so you're double width.
Yeah, double.
So all
double
the other
width.
Punters are ploughing out the way as you scuttle through.
Well, that's, you know, the interesting bit, because you've got so many amateurs on the river who are crisscrossing in front of you because they don't know how to steer a punt. And the other day I went to a network meeting organised by the Visit Cambridge people, who are the tourist office, and we were doing a punt just as part of that networking, but it was a Friday, it was daytime, it wasn't Saturday at a weekend. And it's amazing how clear the river is. A little bit like the traffic in Cambridge at 8 o'clock instead of 8:30. Everything's clear.
You prefer this now, don't you? You're a bit sceptical when I said, look, I know you usually do 8:30. Nice if you can get in after 8. You sort of, it's better, isn't it? It's better to be up and in.
If I need to come in at 8:30, I have to leave at 7:30, and I'm lucky if it takes me an hour. So coming in at 8, I thought, right, I'll have to leave at 7, and I was here 20 minutes early.
Yeah, I mean, I get up a little bit earlier than that. You just scuttle through. It's easy, really easy.
Yeah.
So how do you get through Clare Bridge then with two double? That's not an easy one.
Yeah, you do have to part under the bridge and then come back together. But, you know, it's being chauffeured. They're experts and they just steer you back together. It's, but it's a lot of fun.
They don't tempt you to do the punting. So get some clever chauffeur saying, oh, I'm a bit of an expert on wine, Mark. Here you go. Hold the pole. I'll do this bit. No, you're not a punter then.
No, well, I can punt quite well, actually, but not while I'm also swirling glasses, telling people how to taste wine and passing bottles. That's going to be a bit dangerous. But no, the idea is also it gets done much faster and easier. And we do talk about the colleges. I let the chauffeurs do that. But then we stop and we actually say, right, let's taste some wine. And,
cool.
I get people to guess about it as well. And it's quite fun. I'll do it by blind and pass it around and say, one of these is a Sauvignon Blanc, one's a Chardonnay. Can you guess which is which?
Oh,
and
my
I
Lord.
Give them the
what
clues.
A lot of fun. What a lot of fun.
Yeah, they love it. A little bit of a competition. So summer wines. I was asking the people at, you know, the independent wine merchants of Cambridge what they are recommending for summer. Mm. And Cambridge wine merchants had an interesting couple of suggestions. They've got, do you like wine from Alsace?
Yeah, I do. That's we're talking Muscadets and that sort of stuff, are we?
Yeah, and Rieslings and Gewürztraminer and things.
Yes.
It's a part of France.
Rieslings kind of snuck back in again, hasn't it? It was very popular in the 70s. I always remember my father with a nice Riesling and a Sauterne at the same time. But it's come back in, hasn't it? And it's
all right. Well, and if you're sceptical about sweet German wine because of the 70s, then the whole point is that Alsace, the kind of German corner of France, that does Riesling in a different style. Usually drier. But he's talking about a blend of Riesling, Gewürztraminer, Pinot Gris, and Muscat, all in, like, just representing many of the Alsatian grapes. And it's in a bottle called Hugel Gentil. So Hugel's the producer. And it's normally $10.99 on $9.99 offer for the month. And he said that's a really, really good, popular, you know, nice summer wine. So they're doing that. And they've also got a very good value Portuguese wine, £6.50, called Alejandro Branco. And then Noel Young, he's doing an interesting thing. You know, there's each year these competitions, the International Wine Challenge and the Decanter Wine Awards. So they taste many thousands of wines, and they award only a certain number of wines with trophies. And these wines have been tasted by blind by a load of different people and reckoned to be absolutely fantastic. And, of course, if it keeps winning blind when you don't know what it is...
Sure, it's going to be a good wine.
Good, yeah. So he's put together a list and is stocking quite a lot of the wines from the International Wine Challenge and the Decanter Awards, because he's actually a judge himself on the International Wine Challenge.
So he knows what he's what he's tasting.
We've got a good resource there in Noel. So he's put that all together, and so you can buy the trophy award winners from him at the moment. And he's also got a good June case, which is at 11% off for a case, which is, you know, independent wine merchants, they do have to struggle to match
margins, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, so an 11% discount is really excellent. So he's got a June case, but the thing about those trophy wines is he's got them open for free tasting on Saturday the 15th and Saturday the 22nd of this month. Just go down to the shop and taste through the trophy wines. You know,
great opportunity.
Yeah, all the difficult work's been done for you.
So. Yeah, we've weeded out 999 of them. Here's the top 10.
Yeah. I think I'm definitely going to be down there. So 15th and 22nd Saturday, all day in his shop. So that's fantastic. But look, we've got to try a summer wine, haven't we? And
I'm always up for this. This is my favourite bit of the week, the month, the year.
I'm so glad I heard you say before I was coming in that, you know, you seemed quite respectful of Chablis.
I do like a Chablis.
Because Chablis, I mean, goodness me, it's a beautiful wine for France, from France for the summer. Because it's quite light-bodied and crisp and everything you're looking for when you're sitting in your garden with the sun out and, you know, you're just relaxing in a chair, you want something crisp and light, don't you? If the sun is on you particularly, you're feeling hot and cool, chilled. It needs to be, you know, chilled and go down well. So
I could smell this one as you were pouring it from about 2 feet away.
Intense.
It is, isn't it?
It's got an intense smell. So when we stick our little nose in the glass here...
Oh, that is just Chablis. That's the Chablis smell that I recognise. Now, we were talking a couple of months ago, and we were saying how Pinot Grigio has changed. Chablis doesn't seem to have changed. They seem to have held on this one.
Yeah, it's a classic style. It's very appley. I mean, of course, we're talking about Chardonnay, and a lot of people don't like Chardonnay. Yeah. You know, showing a wine and I put hands up who doesn't like Chardonnay, and you know you definitely don't, there's always somebody who's gone off Chardonnay. But it's not this style of Chardonnay, usually. It's the over-oaked and, you know, a bit sort of blandly, overly ripe as well, Australian Chardonnay, the caricature of Chardonnay that they've got used to from that. This is appley, lemony, very intense, no oak at all, maybe slightly creamy, which you can sometimes get with Chardonnay if it's gone through
malolactic. Sorry, I've beaten you to it. I'm sorry.
You didn't want to wait for the description. You're on the taste. So tell me a little bit about the taste while I taste it.
The taste goes straight to the middle and the back of the tongue.
Mm.
It doesn't go around the sides. Goes straight to the middle and the back.
Well, I always tell people to swish it round the sides of the mouth because you want to use your whole palate. But what you're really talking about is Chablis has got this strong acidity. When I went touring round Chablis, the guy who was taking us in his little beat-up car, and we went around all these little vineyards, every time we tasted a wine, he would hold his hand up and draw this long vertical line in the air, and he would say, pure acidity. And he would just like be saying, it's this beautiful line of acidity, and that's what you mean, it cuts through.
Mm, nice.
I love it. Intense, very, nice. Very fruity, quite ripe for Chablis, because Chablis can be a bit lean and green and stony and minerally in the cheaper end. This is Waitrose Chablis. Pascal Bouchard was $14.99, now $10.99. And I just picked it because I think that for that price range, you're getting a lot of ripe fruit from the Chablis.
Great with strawberries and cream. all the sort of stuff you expect for summer. Great with a picnic. That would just
definitely,
isn't it? Buffet food, picnic wine. That's lovely.
Yeah, fantastic. With salads as well. Yeah, really good.
But my guest in the studio at the moment is Mark Anston, Mark from the Cambridge Wine School. And, well, he's brought in, we've been talking summer wines and Chablis.
And I've had a question. I've had a question on my Facebook page, which is very good, from Jane Horwood of Catfish Web Design.
All right.
And Jane's asked about where she can get local organic wine. And that threw me for a bit because I thought, does she mean organic wine from local, like round here?
Yeah.
And the point is that English wine, it's difficult enough to grow grapes in our environment. I mean, global warming is helping us. We're getting nicer weather. We can, you know, just about do it. But really, we're just on the edge. We're a little too far north. And so
it does need a bit of help, doesn't it?
Yeah, make it organic as well. And then we're starting to really limit the options. And I couldn't really find many. But if we take the question slightly a different way, where can I locally more easily buy organic wine?
Yep.
Then the question is easier to answer. Because actually, you can pop into almost any wine merchant and ask them that question. They should know which of the wines on their shelf are organically produced. And, you know, it may not even be shouted about on the bottle label, but they should know because they know they're producers.
So it doesn't have a badge or anything? There's not a mark on the label?
Oh, well, there is. There are various schemes, but you're not obliged to do it. You know, if you produce organic wine, you don't have to have that stated. You know?
Okay.
It might be that certain producers do it and they don't want to shout about it, but the even so, the wine merchant will know.
Does that normally affect price? Because normally in the supermarkets with organic food, that seems to be an instant excuse to double the price.
It can do. It means that he's got to be a little bit more active in the vineyard. Mm. And so the grape cost may be more expensive for whoever's producing that wine. But the grape cost is only actually a small part of the overall price that you pay as a purchaser. So it might not affect the price of the bottle all that much. But, you know, just go and ask your local retailer. But I had a look on the Cambridge Wine Merchants website, and they had a couple of pretty good value wines from South Africa under the name Running Duck that were both organic.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Organic and fair trade.
Wow.
So this means really righteous. It means, you know, not only have we... It means that the people who've made the wine are not the ones that grew the grapes.
Right.
Because they've purchased the grapes. But they've sourced it only from those vineyards that produce organically, and then they've given them a fair price for the grapes as well. They've given the farmers a fair price. So you can really feel righteous buying this wine. $7.99.
That's okay, though. That's an okay price for a bottle of wine.
Exactly. It's an average price, yeah. The white is a Sauvignon Chenin blend, and the red is a Shiraz. So it's not coming from a single producer, so whoever, you know, it's probably not going to have quite that sort of, you know, complexity that you can get from wine that comes from just one place, a named place.
Yeah.
It'll be blended across. But, you know, it's for that price, what you're looking for, something affordable that is, you know, making your conscience feel good. So you can do that. You can pop into Noel Young and ask him. He's bound to have plenty. Pop into Bacchanalia, ask them. You know, and in a supermarket, then you're stuck. You just have to look on the label, and, you know, you spend a lot of time looking, won't you? So, probably there somewhere, but you're going to have to hunt.
It is a case of hunt it out, isn't it? They do tend to put... But I mean, as you said, though, you've made this point off air. You know, the independent wine merchants, you know, you can't beat it for advice and for just knowledge of it, but the supermarkets are still holding their own, don't they? There are still some bargains.
Some good wines
found
in there. Yeah, there are. You can't ignore it. But we're asking now ourselves about the whole thing of buying wine, and you were wanting to know about buying wine online. And really, it's a kind of it's a versus, isn't it? It's what is the advantage of doing that as opposed to in shops, and what's the advantage of shops as opposed to online? So for you, if you buy wine online, it's because you don't have a local shop, isn't it?
There was a real problem, because it's okay for people in Cambridge. You could have a very pleasant Saturday out buying wine, but where I live, it's a village, and frankly, there's the garage at the top of the village, or there's the village store. Stocks are very limited. But we started buying our wine online, and it just struck me, the original few cases we got were really varied, really good. There was some interesting stuff in there. And then suddenly it all started to change. And for the same price, we really felt we were just getting... there was no effort put in. And actually, it was all starting to taste a bit chemically, bit the same. The labels were starting to change and all look a little bit...
Yes. Are they trying to rip you off?
Yeah.
And that's got to be a suspicion, because they're often putting wines your way that you can't compare the price of in shops as well.
Yeah.
They're getting a special range in. So you don't know whether they're marking that up a bit or not. So there's two answers to that. One is the Wine Society, because they give good value. It's a cooperative non-profit society.
Right.
So they're the only guys online that I know in that way. But the second is, again, our local wine retailer shops also allow you to buy online.
Okay.
So if you go on to, let's say, Noel Young's website, you can buy from him, you can phone him up, he'll deliver. So will Cambridge Wine Merchants. They'll deliver. So it's not a question of, you know, because I'm not close to the shop, I can't buy from them. In fact, Noel's got a club that mimics in the best elements of purchasing wine online. You can buy from him a case monthly, bi-monthly, quarterly. You can specify how often you want it, and it doesn't have to be 12 bottles. It can be 6 bottles. You can decide. You can come in at 4 different price points, and you can change those price points at any time, and you can cancel at any time. So that sounds exactly
right.
That
is exactly what you're looking for, yeah, isn't it?
But the difference is the wines are selected by that team in the shop.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be saying to you, yeah, okay, our first case is brilliant, and now we're going to start to lower the quality.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But in fact, better than that, he'll say, your first case, I'll give you £30 off as well.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat that. And I think it's crazy that people think that, you know, the only alternatives are the incredible deep discounts in supermarkets or Naked Wines, Virgin Wines, and these online guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to diss them. You can buy from them, and they might produce some very, very good wines for you to taste. But, you know, it's not just a question of walking into your local shops. There are other options.
Well, again, just coming back on the big ones, I can't remember which one it was. I think it may have been the one that begins with an L that we first started buying from. And in the original days, you got like a folder. And with all your wines came a properly printed sheet saying the country it was from, describing the vineyard, describing the grape, blah, 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 and a little tick box to say that you could sort of mark it yourself, saying, yes, you know, tasted it, liked it, going to order some more. And then that stopped. And to me, that was the sign.
Right. They're really cutting costs.
Yeah. They're just not promoting the wines in that way. And it was good, because you think, actually, we did used to do that and go, love that one, next time we're going to make sure we get that wine in the case. And they stopped doing it. And you think, okay, we're just getting what you give us now, are we? Okay.
It's crazy. I mean, I thought all the online retailers will allow you to choose what you want. But again,
I'm sure they will if you put the effort in.
Yeah,
but that's
effort. Yeah, that's work, isn't it? At the end of the day,
it is.
Yeah.
All right. So apart from up and down the cam doing these chauffeured punt things, which sound absolutely wonderful, what else is going on at Cambridge Wine School at the moment?
I have started opening bottles of champagne with a saber.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So this is called sabrage. Yeah. This is tradition.
This
is
it legal?
French tradition. It's very legal.
Okay.
Goes back centuries. And Madame Cliquot, the widow, Veuve Cliquot.
Oh, yeah.
She used to entertain the French army at her, you know, not individual soldiers.
No, I know what you're saying. Yes. Entertaining the truest sense.
Yes, at her chateau. And then when they left, they'd get on their horses and she would give them bottles of champagne to take away with them. So they wanted to show off, I think, and they didn't. This is the legend, anyway, the story. And if you're riding a horse, then you can't just put two hands on a bottle and open the cork.
No.
So they held the bottle and the reins with one hand, whipped out their saber with the other, and just cut off the top of the bottle with the saber. So this has become an art. And there's even an order to promote the art called the Confrère de Sabre d'Or, the Order of the Golden Saber. So I'm not a member of that, but I'm starting to do this at my Saturday courses. We've got Saturday courses running once a month now, and I would like to be making that a regular habit to show people. Because every time I say, oh, you know, and for private groups as well, you know, business socials and birthday parties kind of thing. And if I say, well, yes, and I'll demonstrate opening a bottle of champagne with a saber. I mean, you can go on YouTube and see people doing it. But if you don't do it properly, this bottle can explode in your hands. And then cut hands and the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to do it a certain way. And I'm not about really trying to teach people how to do it. You know, I've got $2 million public liability insurance.
Fair enough, if anyone loses a limb.
Yeah, but you know, what people do at home is their own business. And I'm not training people how to do it, but I'm demonstrating it.
Wow.
Being done. And if you do it just so, in a certain way, then you cut off the top, you kind of chink knock it off at a weak point, and the cork goes flying with the bit of glass still around it.
Oh, that is amazing. How many goes did it take before you got your first one?
It did take a few, and I practiced on Carver because that's just £5 a shot. £5 a shot, you know, got that one wrong. But, you know, but you have to chill it down. And as long as you hit the bottle in the right place and in the right way, it goes just like butter. It just shoots off. And it's usually quite... And so you end up pouring your champagne out of a headless bottle. And people do sometimes worry about the glass.
Little bits
shard,
of glass, yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah.
The pressure of the gas inside the bottle just blows
it
away. Yeah, so there's nothing ever goes back in the bottle or into the glasses. You know, you just want to maybe just wipe it around and check, but it's not going to happen because it's all under pressure inside
How
the bottle.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm scared now. You haven't brought it with you, have you?
No.
Good.
I'm not going to demonstrate it on air because people can't see.
Excellent.
But, you know, still back on summer wines, I must just say... one of the wines that came out of the International Wine Challenge as a trophy winner that Noel's stocking in his shop is the Yulumba Y Series Viognier for just $9.99. Do you like Viognier?
Not going to say I've ever really... I wouldn't know that I'd tried it, to be honest. I think I would
say. It's you know, if people are looking for something different, something that's not Chardonnay and not Sauvignon Blanc, and they're getting a bit tired, and they want to try something else, Viognier is often the grape they go to.
Okay.
And it's from the Rhône area of France. It's an unusual thing because you sometimes actually put a little bit of it in with red wine and co-ferment together the red grape must and a little bit of Viognier must. It's an unusual practice. They do that in parts of the Northern Rhône. But all over the New World, people are giving you, you know, Chilean Viognier, South African Viognier, Californian Viognier. They're giving it a try. And Yulumba, Australian Viognier, $9.99. If you get to like this grape, it's very peachy and creamy, peaches and cream, or apricot and cream, and the Yulumba produced Y series and Eden Valley series, and so you could get an Eden Valley Viognier, which I used to think was better, and all of a sudden last year I thought, hang about, this isn't as good. And I really wondered why. And the Y series is cheaper. Suddenly, the Y series is the one that's got the trophy.
Right.
And so you think, okay, just a different year, and it just didn't come out in the Eden Valley so well. But the Y is the one this year.
Excellent. Thank you, Mark. If people want to find out more about Cambridge Wine School, websites and all that sort of stuff,
CambridgeshireWineSchool.com.